Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Today's show is going to be called Dementia Part 2. Hopefully you listened to my show last week with elder law attorney Dustin McFarland. We spent an hour talking about the issues of dementia, dementia guard, something Dustin talked about, something we will be talking about together a lot at my upcoming workshop on December the 2nd. You're not going to want to miss that. Glad to have you with us. Lots to talk about today. We're going to walk through the issues of dementia, and I'm going to talk about things you've never heard before, you've never thought about before, you've never been willing to confront before, but we're going to talk about dementia in all of its permutations and commutations in a way that you haven't heard me talk or most people talk about before. This is not intended to be a clinical expose or discussion. I'm not a doctor, but I want to talk about my 25, almost 30 years of dealing with people who have dementia in a real, honest, and hopefully supportive way. Glad to have you at the with me today. I'm Bob Scrivano, your host. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney. Everything I'm about to talk about is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. I'm not securities licensed. I have a California insurance license. I have a legal document assistant license registered and recorded in Sacramento County, California, that allows me to prepare legal documents, including trusts and powers of attorney, at your specific direction and request. I'm not securities licensed, don't want to be, and again, a reminder that everything we talk about is my opinion only and should not be taken as any legal, any form of legal, financial, or tax advice, or dealing with today's program, medical advice. We're going to talk about what my experience has been dealing with people with dementia for over 25 years. And specifically, we're going to talk about it in more detail in my upcoming workshop on December the 2nd. Yeah, I know it's Christmas and you're really busy and everybody has lots of things to do, but you're going to want to be at that workshop. Pardon me. I will be joined at that workshop by my good friend and elder law attorney, Dustin McFarland, and we will be talking about this in detail. You will not want to miss this workshop. It's the last one of the year, and it's going to be truly unique. For those of you who have been to my workshops before, you know, we talk about financial issues and Medi-Cal and VA and all that. I'm going to focus today on something entirely different. Let me give you my contact information. If you want to get to the workshop or you want an appointment with me, remember the consultation is free. The workshop is free. There's a couple ways you can get a hold of me. One is simply call my phone number. It's a toll-free number. Even in Sacramento, call this number, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S. Write this down. assetsandaging.com. Assetsandaging.com. Or you can call my toll-free number right here in Sacramento, 800-999-8007. If you haven't been to one of my workshops, you're going to want to be there on the 2nd. If you're dealing with someone with dementia now, if dementia is a concern for you, if it runs in your family, if you've seen people with dementia, and you want to be prepared and you want to deal with it in a positive way, not in a reactive, defensive way, then listen to what I'm going to talk about today and get to my workshop. Or better yet, get the family in. Pardon me. I have a gravelly voice today. And come in and see me. I encourage families to come. I encourage people to deal with this before it's an emergency, before you're reacting to stuff rather than proactively dealing with the issues of dementia. When I talk about dementia, I'm putting it in a broad category, which includes Alzheimer's. But dementia can be vascular dementia, it can be dementia associated with Parkinson's, it can be dementia associated with Lewy body, it can be vascular dementia, it can be chemotherapy, depending on what list you look at, there's 6 to 8 forms of dementia or more. I don't care what you call it, dementia is dementia. You understand that word. Nobody likes the word Alzheimer's. In fact, I'm going to read you from an article in a minute. Let me read it to you now. This is from a guy named David Schenck. David Schenck is the author of The Forgetting, which was probably the pioneering show on Alzheimer's. It was probably done originally. Somewhere I have the book and I have the videotape. It was a PBS special on Alzheimer's. It was probably done 15 years ago. Something like that. And one of the things David Schenck says is the following. Everyone is petrified of Alzheimer's to the point of not wanting to contemplate it. We don't even like using the word. That's why I'm using the word dementia today, because everybody will say, well, Dad doesn't have Alzheimer's. Well, first of all, you don't know that. But secondly, it doesn't matter. Dementia is dementia. Half of all people over 80 or 85, I forget which, have some form of dementia. I don't care what you call it. We're going to talk about dementia as it really exists. Dementia as it affects real people. Dementia as it will impact your family. Not may, will impact your family. I'm reading again from David Schenck. And rightly so. It is existentially and uniquely horrifying. Over many years, the disease is imperceptibly, insidiously attacks an otherwise healthy human being, eating away at normal brain function by ripping out neurons and synapses one by one. It eliminates our understanding of the world around us, the recognition of people we love, and ultimately our basic sense of who we are. We lose ourselves. It is not make-believe. It's real. And we're going to talk about dementia. And as we do, I'm going to say something I've said a million times before, probably a million times. I want you to think in your world who you've known that has dementia. For many of you, it's going to be 10 people or 8 people or 6 people. For many of you, you are dealing with it today. As I sit here and talk, you know someone who has dementia. Everybody knows someone who has dementia. In my own family, 9 close family members had some form of dementia. And I've been around it hundreds, if not thousands of times in 25 or 30 years. And it is not going to go away. And it is going to impact your family, period. What you do with it is completely up to you. How you approach it is completely up to you. But it is going to happen. So as I read you some things today, and as I talk about this horrible disease, one author calls it a train wreck of a disease. We're going to talk about it openly and honestly, and I am not going to let you out of the conversation. We're going to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it until you start to listen. Because it literally destroys families. And I'm going to personalize it in a few minutes, but I want to set up a background. I want to read you from another article from the Wall Street Journal by Mark Agronin. Mark Agronin is Mark Agronin is a geriatric psychiatrist and the author of several books. This is not a nobody. This is not a person who is offering their opinion. This is a clinician, a psychiatrist who deals with this disease all day long. And I want to read you a couple things from this article that I haven't read before. And then I want to get very, very, very personal with you and your family. And here's one of the things he says. Families of persons with dementia spend billions, listen to the number, billions of dollars every year, thousands a month per household, on healthcare, supplies, and paid caregivers for people with dementia. The average unpaid caregiver, according to the Alzheimer's Association, works almost 22 hours a week on the person's behalf. The average unpaid caregiver spends 22 hours a week dealing with that person with dementia, and that's unpaid care. We're not even talking about paid care. It is a devastating disease. For those of you that think it's just a little memory loss, you are on a fool's errand if that's what you think, because it's going to get really, really bad, to the point where it's going to rob that individual that you know and love of who they are. I continue to read. And in terms of total cost, none of this takes into account lost wages, lessened productivity, and decreased spending on other household needs and luxuries. When someone has dementia, our entire being is focused on that disease. It is not cute, it's not funny, it's not a little memory issue. We're not talking about somebody that forgets where they left their keys. I forget I have four pairs of reading glasses, and the reason why is, I learned a long time ago, I got tired of trying to remember where I left them. So now I have, you know, one in my briefcase, one in my car, one in my office, and one next to my bed, so I can read at night. And I don't have to go find my glasses. We're not talking about that. I want to read you again a little bit from this article by Mark Agronin from the Wall Street Journal of November the 13th. By the way, the only newspaper in the world that pays any attention to this disease. You'll see all kinds of spurious articles on how nursing homes have done this, and almost all of those done by groups that profit from lawsuits. I'm talking about the actual disease. I want to read you something else he says. Meanwhile, I think I missed one other one. Let me read this to you. And tell me if this is your family. So let me find this. I have seen people, for instance, who were simply not in a position to take care of a parent with dementia. Maybe they had a young family or were just starting a career. They simply lacked the time and emotional energy to care for an aging parent. So perhaps after trying for a while, they send the parent to another sibling. They are relieved of the burden, but they are racked with guilt. The unspoken, the elephant in the room when it comes to dementia is guilt, because we all promised each other and our family we wouldn't let it happen. And that is a huge mistake to make that promise or to think that way. It costs families billions of dollars a year, and untold heartache and grief and pressure, and it destroys the lives of caregivers. It is not a fun topic, but it is a topic that I'm going to address, and I'm going to address in detail along with an elder law attorney friend of mine, Dustin McFarlane, on December the 2nd at my next workshop. Other children, I'm reading from the article, tell me if this is your family. Other children often relish the opportunity to organize a parent's care, finding meaning in filial duties. But they can also find themselves increasingly frustrated and resentful when siblings critique their caregiving approach. I can't tell you how many families have sat in front of me. Is it your family? Where one of the children is taken on the burden and the other children snipe all the time at that person about, well, you should be doing this for mom. I'm not willing to do it, but you should be doing this for mom or for dad. Meanwhile, some children become enraged and depressed as they watch their parents go through changes that they struggle to believe are true. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I have sat in meetings with families that are absolutely in denial that their mom or their dad or their grandma is losing his or her mind. That they struggle to believe are true. They might even reject the dementia diagnosis and medical oh, that doctor doesn't know what he's talking about, I hear all the time. Dad just is a little forgetful. Until a parent's illness, siblings with different personalities rarely, if ever, have to work on a common project. The family dynamics often are stabilized by a history of respect and even admiration for one another, from afar. In addition, each child has his or her own private connection with a parent. These dynamics among siblings and between siblings and parent are at risk of breaking down in the face of dementia. I see it every week, where families are being torn apart by this disease. No one wants to talk about it. Everyone, and in fact, I know somebody that speaks I don't want to mention any names, but speaks at associations that deal with this, and they're told in advance, before you speak, don't use the word Alzheimer's. Don't use that word. These are people who have already been diagnosed with dementia. It's huge. This emotional quagmire isn't, I'm reading from the article, isn't always helped by the full Congress of specialist advisors, care managers, and in the trench aides needed to care for an aging person with dementia today. As we live longer and healthier lives than previous generations, we also accumulate a larger and more complex array of physical and mental ailments that need attention. We can preserve the body for much longer than we can preserve the mind. Gone are the family doctors who know the whole family across generations and manage all health care. They've been replaced by competing systems of care with multiple clinicians who each manage their own piece of the person. Gone, too, for the most part, are multi-generational households with strictly defined roles and a surrounding family or community invested in care. There is simply no way to remedy these missing pieces for caregiving families who are, more often than not, spread across the country. I hope you'll listen to this show again. You can listen to it on my website. It'll be posted there. And you need to pay attention. You've just spent Thanksgiving together. Hopefully your family has been together. Hopefully you've got to see your parents or your grandparents. And I want you to be honest. Please. I want you to be honest. Who did you spend Thanksgiving with that's losing it? Who did you spend Thanksgiving with that, if you were honest, you've noticed a change? Most of us. It's happening in my life to people around me. It may happen to me someday. It may happen to my wife someday. It happened to all of our parents, my parents and my wife's parents. Dementia impacted all of them. It impacted my grandparents. It's everywhere. I want to ask you some questions. And I hope you share this show with somebody else. I hope you tell them to go to my website and listen to it, because it's going to save families if you're honest about this conversation we're about to have. And when I say listen, I mean really listen. Don't be dismissive of, well, we'll never have to deal with this. You not only will, you probably are. When you hear dementia, what do you think of? What do you think of when you hear the word dementia? You think about someone who's laying in a bed, drooling down the side of their mouth, or who doesn't know family, or doesn't. There are levels of dementia. It's probably going to lead to that someday, if that person doesn't die. But what do you think of when you hear dementia? Who do you think of? Who's the person in your life, in your family, in your circle of friends, that when I use the word dementia, you go, oh yeah, you know, Uncle Fred or Grandma, or who do you think of? Name that person out loud right now. You can do that. You can name that person. You know who it is. You know who it is you love who's going through this, or who you care about that's going through this. And it's so difficult that we can't even say the word. I'm going to use the word a lot today. What is the person with dementia like that you're thinking of? What are they like? Write it down on a piece of paper. What are they like? What is that person like? What do they do? What kinds of things do they do that make you believe or are make you suspect that that person who you know has dementia? Well, you don't have to be a clinician to know this. You have eyes and ears and you observe. What do they do? How do they act? Anybody can answer these questions. You don't have to be a doctor or a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a neurologist. You know. We're going to try to tear the veil away from this disease and begin to talk about it honestly. Write down December the 2nd, 10 o'clock, Crown Plaza Hotel, right here in Sacramento. It's free. If you want to come, you have to have reservations, because I need to know how many people are going to come so that there's room. We're going to talk openly and honestly about this. The good news is at that workshop, we're going to try to give you some solutions. We're going to try to give you some tools that you can use to deal with this as a family. How does that person act? I don't know. That person you're thinking, how do they act? Would you be willing to bring them to the workshop, or would they be too embarrassing in public? We don't let Grandma out of the house because, you know, she does strange things. She makes strange noises. She has strange bodily functions. She has, you know, she eats weird, whatever. How do they act? What have you observed? Does that person have dementia? I don't care if it's if you're making a clinical diagnosis. You know your family. Have you trained your children to observe you? Children, have you observed your parents? Have you written down the changes that are going on in their life? Have you as children talked about it? Are you on the same page, or are you at loggerheads with each other? I don't know the answer to that for your family. How do you talk to them? Do you talk to them in anger? Are you patient with them? Does trying to talk to them, is it a hard conversation? I know that as my own mother went through this, when I would talk to her on the phone, she would tell me the same story 10 times and not remember that she had told me that story 9 times before. When that happens, how do you react to that? Are you patient with that? Do you get upset by that? Do you pretend that it's not happening? I don't know in your family. But is that happening? How do they act, and how do you react to them? If you want more answers to this, there's a couple ways you can do it. Number one, listen to the second half hour, because we're going to talk some more about this in really hard terms. And you better call somebody up and tell them to listen to this show, or tell them to look it up on my website and listen to it again, because it'll be put up on my website. You've just had, by the way, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a great time as a family. I really do. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving and spending time with people I love. And I hope you had the same experience. It's a great time to observe. The holidays are a great time to observe your family and the people that you love in a relaxed setting. What do you see? How do they act? How do you talk to them? How do you react to them? If it's important for you to know more as a family, then either get in to see me or get to the workshop on the 2nd of December at 10 o'clock at the Crown Plaza here in Sacramento. You have to have reservations. How do you make reservations? Call me at 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Leave me your name and phone number. I'll call you back and I'll get you some tickets. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Scroll down and sign up for the workshop, or better yet, get in to see me. The consultation and the workshop are both free. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Call during the break. I'll be back in a few minutes after a couple words from our sponsor, as they say, and we're going to talk more about dementia in an open, honest, forthright way. Don't go away. I'll be back in just a minute or two. Stick around. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. This is Bob Scrivano, your host. 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, Aging, A-G-I-N-G.com. AssetsandAging.com or 800-999-8007. I'm talking about dementia. Part two. Make sure you get it. If you get a chance, listen to last week's show that I did with elder law attorney Dustin McFarland, where we talked about dementia. This is a follow-up to that discussion. I think it's so important. I plan on spending more time this year just talking about families and dementia. Okay, so we've talked about when you hear dementia, what do you think? Who's the person with what is the person that you know of in your life? What's their dementia like? What do they do? How do you act? How do you talk to them? How do they talk to you? Do they talk to you in anger? Do they talk to you in gibberish? Do they talk to you and sometimes forget who they're talking to? Again, we're not looking at this as a doctor or a clinician looks at this. We're looking at it in the sense of the practical day-to-day interaction and interchange with families and somebody that they love with dementia. And it affects every single family in America. I mentioned earlier in my own family, 9 close family members had dementia, died with dementia. So how do they talk to you? List, if you're someplace sitting down, list three things they do, this person with dementia, that you can't explain. You can't explain it to yourself. Why is mom like this? Why is grandma like this? Why is my spouse like this? Well, list three things that they do that you can't explain. If you can't explain it, why? What's going on in their life? Lots of people take their mom or dad to the doctor, and the doctor does blood pressure and everything and says, "Oh, your mom's fine." And for the 10 minutes that you're with the doctor, mom's fine. They don't see what you see the other 23 hours of the day, 7 days a week. And so there's kind of a false security created by when we go to the doctor. The doctor's got 10 minutes to see mom, and in that 10 minutes at wherever, everything appears to be fine. The doctor goes, "Well, yeah, mom appears to be fine." See that? So you list three things that they do that you can't explain. How did they get that way? When did it start? How did they get that way? How long have they been like this? Is this something you've observed, this is the first time? Or is this person that you're thinking about, or persons, have they been like this for a long time and they're progressively getting, worse? It's gone from little things to bigger things to bigger things still. How did they get that way? How long have they been like that? How long will it last? Do you know? It could last a long time. Do you know, on average, that between diagnosis of Alzheimer's and death is 8 years? One of the things Alzheimer's and dementia are called is the long goodbye. Because you watch this person lose themselves and fade in front of you over a long period of time. And all along that timeline, what are you doing? What are you doing to intervene and to deal with what's happening in front of your eyes? Or are you going to be like the family that I read about a minute ago when I read the stuff from the doctor? That families ignore it, pretend it's not happening, whatever. How long will it last? Do they get care? Do they need care? Is this person already getting care? Or are you know, on average, 22 hours a week are spent by an unpaid caregiver taking care of someone with dementia? Do they get care? Who's it from? Is it from you? Is it from a professional? Is there a caregiver that comes in? Are you just rotating mom between family members every weekend? What are you doing? How do they get, who's providing the care? Is it you? Is it a professional? Is it somebody you hired off the street? Who's providing the care? How much is it costing? Who's paying? I know somebody right now that out of their own pocket is paying over $100,000 a year out of their own pocket. By the way, this isn't an isolated case. Just to have mom and dad in assisted living, not a nursing home, not round-the-clock care at home, in assisted living for mom and dad, they're paying over $100,000 a year out of their own pocket, and they have been doing it for 2 years, and it has about bankrupted them. And by the way, this person has a business that they're trying to run on top of all of this. That doesn't count the lost productivity, the lost wages, the time off, the time that they can't focus on their business. It doesn't count any of that. How much is this costing somebody? Have their friends or family stopped coming? It's a really big deal. Mom says, how come Aunt Jenny never comes over anymore? How come my best friend Phil doesn't come over anymore? Who's stopped coming over? Because they can't deal with that person, and it's because of the dementia, because, quite frankly, I'm going to use a very technical medical term. Sometimes people with dementia do strange things. Sometimes they act out in strange and uncomfortable ways. I'm not trying to be uncouth here, folks. But someone was in my office recently whose spouse doesn't know where the bathroom is and therefore relieves themselves wherever they are, including at a friend's or family member's house. So have people stopped coming over? Have you stopped going to see mom or dad? We're just talking today about identifying and being honest and realistic about dementia. Have family or friends stopped coming? Have you stopped going? Do you go to see your friend anymore? You don't go to see your Aunt Tilly anymore because it's just too weird. I've used a term before and I will use again. Having to deal with someone who has dementia often involves dealing with icky stuff. That could be physiological, it could be psychological, it just could be, you know, mom or dad say weird things in public, they act out in public or at home or when people are over. Who stopped coming because of that? Next question is an important one. How are the family members the children, the spouse, the grandchildren, how are they coping with all of this? How's the caregiver doing? I've said this for as long as I've been on this radio show. In 1/3 of the cases, the well spouse dies first. How's that spouse that's dealing with a husband who's lost his mind or a wife that's losing her mind, how are they coping? The stress on caregivers is enormous. And one of the problems is the kids don't come around. And so mom or dad is stuck there all day long with that person whom they love and adore, who has dementia. And nobody understands why they get sick, why they have a stroke, why they have a heart attack, why they're malnourished, why they never rest and never sleep. Who stopped coming? And how are the caregivers coping? If you're a caregiver for someone with dementia, come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. How are you coping? Is this stressing you out? If you're a caregiver, do you share that stress with your children, with your grandchildren, with whoever, with your friends, or have your friends stopped coming over? Your mom, who's taking care of dad, used to belong to clubs, used to maybe go out and play golf once in a while with her friends. Maybe dad used to go bowling, but he doesn't do that anymore. The social events that we used to go to, we don't go to anymore because of dementia. How are you coping with all of that? How are the children coping? How's the spouse coping? Now I want to change gears a little bit. And this gets really personal for you. How are you going to cope when this happens to you? So right now you're fine. You're perfectly fine. You're 78 years old, and you're perfectly fine. But so was at some age that person that you know that has dementia now at some point was perfectly fine. So how are you going to cope when this happens to you? I don't have the answer. You do. Well, Bob, this is never going to happen to me. I won't let it happen. Well, then you're dancing through the graveyard, as they used to say. You're pretending. You're just pretending. Because you don't know whether or not it's going to happen to you. Not one person, there's right now 110,000 people in nursing homes in California. There are 2.5 million seniors receiving some form of care. I can guarantee you that every single one of them at some point in their life said, this will never happen to me. Every single one of their children said, I'll never let this happen to mom or dad. So when it does happen to you, how are you going to cope? How's your family going to cope? I don't know the answer for you. All the questions I asked earlier about someone else that you know, now take all those questions and put them in the first person. But now it's you. It's going to happen to you. So who's going to stop coming to visit you? Who's going to take care of you? How are you going to act? How are people around you going to act when you say weird things? How are you going to cope? Who's going to take care of you? What if you said, I'm never going to a nursing home, but guess what? You wind up with dementia. I'm never going to assisted living, but you wind up with dementia. I'm never gonna leave my house, but you wind up with dementia. How are you going to cope? Take all the questions I asked in the first half hour and the first part of this half hour and now put them in the first person because now it's happening to you. What are you going to do? Seriously, what are you going to do when it happens to you? I don't know the answer for your family. Now I want you to do this. And you can do this after the show, or if you're sitting down, you can go get a piece of paper and a pencil, and you can listen and do the following. List 3 specific steps you have taken to 1, protect your family, 2, protect yourself, and 3, make sure your desires are followed. Well, Bob, I have a trust, and when I die, it all goes to my kids. I don't care what happens when you die. I said, what happens when you don't die? What happens when you have dementia? So what are the 3 specific steps you have taken? You, I'm talking to you. We're not talking about that person in your life you were thinking about. What happens when that happens to you? What are the, just list 3 specific steps you have taken to 1, protect your family, 2, protect yourself, 3, make sure what you want is followed, and 4, that the assets are an income are there to fulfill your desires. Dementia is a wrecking ball of a disease. It needs to be addressed with hard questions and specific answers. You've had a wonderful time with your family. Thanksgiving is over, Christmas is coming, you're seeing family, you're observing family. And if you're honest, you're observing family who are beginning to fail or have already failed, but nobody wants to cope with it. Nobody wants to deal with it. Nobody wants to address it. Nobody wants to call it by its name. And the name is dementia. You know, interestingly enough, we will talk about cancer. You know, somebody has cancer. You know, so-and-so has cancer. So-and-so has whatever. We'll talk about heart disease. Well, I've had heart disease. I've had triple bypass. I've had, you know, dad's in the hospital and he's got pneumonia or whatever it is. We will talk about physiological diseases, but we tend to separate out dementia, which, by the way, is a physiological disease. It's a disease of an organ. It's the disease of a brain. But we don't talk about that. When we ask dad how he's feeling, we're thinking about physiological things. You know, is how are his knees? How's his bad back? You know, I notice dad sleeps a lot or whatever it is. We'll talk about that stuff. At Thanksgiving, we'll say, you know, Mom, you look tired. Or Dad, you look, you know, like you're not feeling very, whatever. We do that all the time. We ask our kids that all the time. You know, how you doing? How you, our adult children? How you feeling? How's everything in your life? How? Nobody ever says, you know, Mom, I've noticed Dad is going a little sideways on the railroad tracks. What's going on? And what's the first thing Mom said? Oh, it's nothing. Or Mom is trying to explain to the children why Dad's behavior is weird, and the children are going, well, you know, let's talk about how the turkey was. I don't want to talk about that. It's uncomfortable. Parents say to me all the time, I don't want to be a burden on my children. Children say all the time, it's not my issue. I don't want to interfere with my parents. Well, let's go back to all the original questions I asked. It's not something you get to choose. Tag, you're it. Somebody in your family has that you love has dementia. How are you going to deal with all the questions that I asked? How are you going to make wise decisions? And if you're not ill yet, if you're pretty healthy, just getting a little older, when you become the statistic, when you're the one that has, by the way, you won't know. Some people sit in my office and they know that they have dementia or Alzheimer's because they've been diagnosed with that. And even then, sometimes the families are in denial. They don't want to deal with it. It's too painful to think about. I want to read you something that this one author said. Again, this is David Schenck, who wrote the whole series called The Forgetting. And he says, I want to read you one more time. Everyone is petrified of Alzheimer's to the point of not wanting to contemplate it. We don't even want to think about it. We don't want to utter the word. It's too horrendous to think about. Well, if your family, if you are ready to contemplate the word, that I'm ready to help. In 25 years, I've surrounded myself with the best people I know of who can deal with this kind of stuff. I've been helping people deal with this stuff for over 25 years. The good news is there are steps you can take to deal with dementia. But step number one is uttering the word. You have to be willing to say, "Mom, Dad has dementia." You have to be willing to say, "Children, your mother has dementia." And then you need to start asking yourselves all the questions that I've already listed. I'm not going to go over them again. And then you need to determine what are the steps that you've taken that I've listed. What are the three specific things that you've done, three or four or five, whatever you want to list, that you've done so that when it happens to you, you're prepared for what's coming. Your family is prepared for what's coming. When was the last time parents and children sat down? I had the best experience recently. And I don't want to give too much detail because I don't want to give anything away and make somebody uncomfortable. But Mom clearly has dementia and Dad is not there yet, but on the way. And all of the children, along with Mom and Dad, came in and sat down with me, and we began to take steps to solve this long term. I can't solve dementia, but to solve the reality of where all this is going and taking the steps so that the family is not wrecked by what's coming. I cannot tell you how important using the word is. And they were willing to sit down and use the word in front of each other. They know what's coming. They don't know how horrible it might get. It's probably going to become a lot more horrible because the more competent of the two spouses is not capable of taking care of the spouse that has dementia. It's going to fall to the children, and the children, as best they can, are pulling in the harness together to make sure that they're making wise decisions about where this is going. So who in your family? Who do you love? Who did you have Thanksgiving with? Who are you going to have Christmas with? Who are you going to spend New Year's with? Who in your family or circle of friends has dementia? Name them. Name the disease. It's not bad to name the disease. We can use the term because it's going to happen in every family in America to some degree, with a parent, an aunt, a friend, a grandparent, somebody that we love. And I guess I am just trying to confront you as best I can with the reality of that. Dementia, because we live longer, because we're kept alive longer, is going to impact most of us. As I said, it's either 80 or 85, one of those two. Half of all people over that age have some form and some degree of dementia. And by the way, dementia is not curable. There's no vitamins, there's no pills, there's no treatments that cure Alzheimer's or cure dementia. It will almost always end. The only time dementia ends is with the death of the person that has it. So who do you love? Who do you care about? And do you care about them enough? And do you love them enough that as a family and as friends, you're willing to sit down and say, "Okay, we're confronted with this. We didn't ask for it. It was nobody's fault. Nobody caused this. It's an illness just like any other illness, just happens to be an illness of the brain. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to confront it? What steps are we going to take to ameliorate the risk and the icky stuff?" If you're serious about this and you've decided that, okay, it's time to stop talking about this and doing, then write this down on a calendar and write this information down. Saturday, December the 2nd, 10 o'clock in the morning, Crown Plaza Hotel, right here in Sacramento, close to Madison and 80, free workshop. I will be joined by elder law attorney Dustin McFarland, who I've known for a long time. If you get a chance, listen to last week's show. I had him on. And I'll be talking about dementia. And we will spend about an hour and 15 minutes talking about what you can do as a family, what you can do as an individual. What steps can you take to make sure that when this train wreck, this wrecking ball of a disease hits your family, you can look it square in the eye and deal with it? Didn't say cure it, didn't say make it go away, but you can deal with it. Call me now, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or go to my website, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, aging.com, and you can scroll down and sign up for my workshop, or better yet, even get in for an appointment. They're all free. And together, as a family, we can make sure that that person that you love, you're prepared to answer all the questions I asked earlier. 800-999-8007. I know this was direct. I hope it was helpful, and I hope you can begin to speak the name, dementia, and we'll see you at my workshop on the 2nd, 800-999-8007. For Assets and Aging, this is Bob Scrivano. Have a great day. We'll see you here next week. Bye-bye.